Today's scripture reading is taken from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. I will be reading from the screen. Verses 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Tell them to call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint him with all the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person. Let me just read all my. I cannot see. Sorry. I cannot see. I go over for verse 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of righteous men is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly and that would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain and earth produced its crops. So today we have Reverend Lau to share with us God's word, sermon titled Prayer of Faith. Reverend Lau, please.
Hello, can you hear me? Yeah, okay. I tend to be sometimes agitated. I will hit the thing, so that I'm trying to push it further away. Good to see all of you, but in a very blurry way. So I can't see your face actually. Yeah, I see shadows. Like the blind man who was healed, he said he saw men like trees. So. Good morning, and let's come before the Lord before we begin. Yeah. Father, we ask that Lord, as we come before you during this period of Lent, help us, Lord, to remember how great your love is for us, towards us, and what you have done for us on the cross. Help us, Lord, really to come in humility, come in confession, that Lord, we will come before you asking for your mercy and your grace. For we want to acknowledge that, Lord, we are sinners, true and true, that we are not even capable of serving and loving you. But we thank you that, Lord, you give us your Holy Spirit to help us. So help us, Lord, to draw close to you. Even this morning, as we look into your word regarding faith, regarding prayer, we ask that, Lord, your words will speak to all of us, to me, to the congregation, that, Lord, once again, we will be drawn closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this world, in this very broken world and a very chaotic world, okay, a very uncertain world, we as believers face, as I said, many difficulties. Some maybe caused by ourselves, some is caused by other people, other circumstances. Some is actually international, okay, like the geopolitics that is going on. And some is close at home, no? Happening to our family or immediate families, okay? So how is it possible to remember God's goodness and sovereign purposes when we face such trials and pains and sufferings? I still remember almost 30 years ago, while I was still in the, is it 30 years, 1990s, I think more than 30 years. Yeah, 30 years ago. I was still in the Bible College. I was having a conversation with a fellow student about healing, about faith. And his position is, if you pray with faith, God will surely heal. Guarantee, okay? And if there's no healing, guess what's the problem? You lack faith. That's his conclusion, okay? I couldn't quite agree with him, okay? And we parted without resolving the issue, okay? Because we are both very stubborn in our position, okay? But we had a very good conversation and a debate. But over the past 30 years, I have witnessed both miraculous healing, really miraculous. There's no other way to describe the healing. But I also witnessed no healing of very godly servants who passed away, even while we offered very fervent prayers. And some of those, I don't know if you know, Reverend Peter Koh's wife, she passed away, and so many people praying for her. It's not just in Singapore, it's almost Asia-wide, I would say, because their ministry. But no healing. Why no answer? Okay? Why? I do not know. I don't have the answer, okay? But today, let's discover together what did James mean when he wrote the phrase, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. It's a big statement, right? Let's unpack it slowly, okay? But first of all, let's remember, we need to go back to the background and the context of the book itself, okay? Of the letter itself. It is written to Jewish... I tend to forget. Is this the thing? Yeah, okay. Let me see. Is it? Yes. So we went through the introduction, okay? The background, okay? So the background of James is that it's a letter written to Jewish Christians who were poor and oppressed, but they were commanded to what? Count it all joy, or consider it all joy when they face various trials. That is a very hard command to swallow, right? Especially if your dearest one is, example, diagnosed with cancer, okay? And especially stage 4, you know? Everybody say that there's no hope. You know? You go back and doctors basically tell you to go back and wait, you know, wait to die, okay? And on to endure the trials, the temptation, the testing, the pain, endure it. Why? So that they may be perfect and complete. Another impossible thing to do, actually, right? The word endure is almost like the remain under. So can you imagine if you are being pressed by something, if let's say I give you a millstone, put on your shoulder, and I say, in our dialect, you tong, okay? That means you endure, no? Even with the millstone on you, you stay there, don't move. That sort of thing is difficult, right? With the thing pressing down on you. So, James told them, you are supposed to count it all joy, you're supposed to endure, but he also realized that it's difficult. So the next instance he told them in James chapter 1, okay, the context, is that he said, ask God for wisdom, okay? But he reminded them, you need to ask God for wisdom. I don't know whether I have a slide for that. Yeah, okay. Sorry. So you need to ask God for wisdom, okay? Is it there? No, it's not there. Is it the next one? Yes. Sorry. You need to ask God with wisdom. But you need to ask God for wisdom that they lack. What? In unwavering faith. Okay? So, asking God is actually another word for prayer, right? But this one must be in unwavering faith. Believing and not doubting. But the key to such unwavering faith, I would suggest, is not to muster up some sort of extraordinary belief out of our own willpower, okay? Wow, I have such faith because I can pull it out by my out of myself. But actually it's a proper focus of our attention on God. Because why? In verse 17, is it there? Oh yes, I put there. It's every good gift and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. James reminded these Christian believers in scatter over that is from above. Okay? What kind of good and perfect gift? Example, the wisdom to endure. Or a miraculous intervention, for example, healing or provision or even deliverance when they were being persecuted or chased by the Roman soldiers. Okay. So such a proper unwavering faith focuses on God rather than focuses on what the prayer can do. Do you see the difference? Because when we focus on the person of God, okay, yeah, the prayer of faith is a prayer that focuses on the person of God. Because we must remember that God, the person of God, is an all-good, all-loving, and all-powerful God who wants to give us the best and also wants to give us the wisdom to view our trial, our pain, and suffering from His perspective. You know, when we meet problem, we tend to look at it from our own perspective. I mean, that cannot be helped because we are men, right? We are stuck here, so we tend to look at this point. But a prayer of faith will want to ask the Lord to give us the wisdom so that He'll give us the wisdom to view it from His perspective. So it's not a focus on the prayer or the answer, but on God Himself. So an example of this emphasis is even in the song, for example, this is a very familiar song, right? That we should turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and what will be the result? The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Yeah. So if we turn our eyes, if we focus our eyes on our problem, then the problem will always be bigger. I wonder whether I shared this observation with you. This was an example given by a sister in Northern Thailand when we were there. You were saying that if you look at your problem, right, before you, okay, if this is our problem, if you put the problem in front of you, then God will be smaller. Yes, our problem is bigger than God. But if you put God before the problem, then God is bigger than our problem. Yeah? So that's what this song is about, no? To turn our eyes upon Jesus. And also in Scripture, in Hebrews chapter 12, same emphasis. It said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. But interesting, not just the weight, remember the thing about on your shoulder. But also sin, which clings so closely. But let us run with, same word, endurance. The race that is set before us, looking to who? Jesus again. The focus is always back to God. It's never said, oh, look at your problem. How can we solve? I mean, that's the natural thing. No? Wherever, sometimes my wife will share with me her so-called frustration at work. And I tend to look at the problem. I'm like, let's try to solve. And then she'll tell me, dear, can you just listen? Yeah. Yes. I'm too quick to give solution, okay? But the point is, she doesn't want me to give solution. She wants me to focus on her, right? That's the problem, right? Our problem is always want to give solution, okay? So that's the first point I want to make. A prayer of faith is always a focus, redirect our focus back on the person of God himself, okay? The second point I want to make, we'll go straight into our text today, which is James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18, okay? Now, you'll notice that in this passage, the word prayer and pray occurred seven times, okay? You take a look, you go and count. I did underline the words. You take a count. Sometimes I count wrongly. But it occurred seven times, okay? So definitely, it's talking about prayer, it's talking about faith. But interestingly, James was saying that if anyone among you is suffering, so he talks about suffering, let him pray. If is anyone cheerful, let him sing praises or praise. Is anyone sick, let him call for the elders, let them pray. So whether you are suffering, you are cheerful, you are sick, okay, is to pray. And then even, and if he has committed sin, pray. Okay, so the reflex action that James is telling the church is this: whether you are suffering, whether you are joyful, whether you are sick, or whether you are committed sin, first thing to do, go to the Lord in prayer. Okay, and going to the Lord in prayer, seeking God, should be a normal, natural, habitual part of Christian life. If it's not, then I'll say we better get back to the basic, okay? This should be normal, not abnormal, okay? Yeah? So, whether the prayer of faith is offered by leaders or elders or by a single faithful, righteous person, in verse 16, the whole idea is that the church should be a community that turns first and in faith to our loving God who helped us in the midst of our suffering, our struggle, okay? It's a pursuit of God, okay? And I think Christ gives us a very good example, okay? Yeah, it's a second point, right? Remember in Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. We are told, recorded for us by Mark, that rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he is Jesus himself, our Lord, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. If you read Mark chapter 1, the context is, he was very busy, you know, doing ministry, healing, casting out demons, okay, preaching, ministering, doing all sorts of things. But early in the morning, he actually hardly slept, no, because he worked late into the night, okay? Before he can, if he has actually to get rid of most of the people. But early in the morning, he departed. Why? He went to a desolate place to pray. What is this praying about? He's actually pursuing God. He's actually seeking God. And if you read through Mark, you read through all the gospel, it's actually part and parcel of Jesus' daily life. It's not abnormal, it's normal, okay? And we who call ourselves disciple of Christ, follower of Christ, we cannot but follow in the same footsteps, right? Yeah? So, what are the benefits? Well, when we learn to pursue God in prayer, it will enhance our spiritual growth. Prayer life becomes more satisfying and intimate. And I like to qualify first, the idea of prayer is not just go to God to ask for things only, right? A very simple mnemonic that you can use, I remember prayer is ACTS, right? Prayer involves adoration, prayer involves confession, prayer involves thanksgiving, prayer involves supplication. Supplication means not only you pray for yourself, but you also pray for others. Like what our pastor did just now, praying for your missionaries overseas that you support, right? So that should be that kind of prayer we have. And when you have such a deep, faithful prayer life, then prayer becomes more satisfying as each day goes by. And you no longer worry because you have cast this all your burden that is on your shoulder, right? You are how to endure? Because you keep on that millstone on your shoulder, is hard to endure, right? But you have lifted that millstone and said, God, can you take over? And that's the key, right? That's the key of a prayer of faith. And faith then becomes a way of life. And then in verse 17 and 18, James gave us an example. He said, Elijah was a man with nature like ours. Some would say, wow, why you bring up Elijah as an example? How can we compare to Elijah? He can call forth fire from heaven, okay? Right? He can speak a word and the country go on drought for 3 years, no? And he can pray and then rain comes. I mean, wow, a great prophet. I mean, how can we ask us to be, like him? But then James reminded us that Elijah was a man of with a nature like us. Okay? Not much different. But yet he can do such great things. And when he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. And then he prayed again, heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. So James reminded us that if Elijah, a man like us, can pray so fervently and God shows, okay, I forgot to click again. Okay. Am I going forward or a little backward? Let me see. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, sorry, I didn't cover this yet. Never mind. That's why sometimes it's better for somebody else to click the thing. I'm a bit lost. Yeah. But anyway, James reminded us that Elijah was a man of our like nature. So if Elijah was like us, and he can pray such a prayer of faith, then there's no excuse for us. We can be like him, with such prayer and who can pray fervently, okay? But the problem is that there are a lot of hindrances of passionate prayer in our lives. And so what's stopping us? First is no burden, okay? You see, it's easy to feel passionate and burdened, when my son is sick, right? Discovered with COVID and is in ICU, on life support. Wow, a lot of passion to pray for. But when that thing is over, we lose the urgency, right? Yeah? We stop praying again. Yeah? Yeah? Then we drift back to our normal day life or apathy. Until the next problem hit again. Then we go back on our knees. That, to me, is abnormal. The normal should be whether that you have a problem or an emergency or it's just normal daily life, we should be on our knees praying, right? A prayer of faith. Yeah? Second, that's very usual. No time. Too busy, especially in Singapore, right? Our very fast pace of life. No time. Come for prayer meeting, no time. Okay? If you always have this excuse, no time, then not even in regular prayer, then we will never be able to cultivate this fervency in prayer. Okay? So I, not so much as to advertise, but I will encourage all of us when ever there is a church corporate meeting, prayer meeting, please, please turn up. Not for the sake of the church, not for the sake that Reverend John can say, wow, our prayer meeting got so many people. Not for that. It's for your own sake, to help us build our own prayer life, okay? And some say, wow, I pray for years, okay? No answers. It's a waste of time. God doesn't seem to answer. God seems to answer this missionary. God seems to answer this sister. God seems to answer this brother, but never answer me. Okay? If that's the case, then I say, pray harder, not give up, right? Yeah. And maybe come before him and seek the Lord and ask, what's going on? Is there something in my life that is an obstacle? Yeah. Do I need to learn something from you? Okay. So that's why James gives this example in 1 Kings, James chapter 5. But I'd like to give you the context that's in 1 Kings. Okay, is this 1 Kings? Yes. Okay. You see, in 1 Kings, okay, Elijah was after the battle with, the prophets of Baal, right? Then he was telling King Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is a sound of rushing rain. But actually, there is sunny day, you know, okay? Yeah, because in fact, there's just fire from heaven, right? That lick up everything, right? All the water and the sacrifice. But Ahab listened to him, went out to eat and to drink. But Elijah went to what? Went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself on the earth and put his face between his knees. Okay? Yeah. So Elijah is a model of fervent prayer. He's passionate about it. He bowed himself to the earth. Okay? And put his face between his knees. There's urgency, there's burden, there's humility. And definitely there's stress, I think, because he has just told the king, you go and eat first, I'm going to get the rain coming, right? Yeah. So how long will the king eat? 2 hours? Okay. Maybe you only have 2 hours to get that rain coming. Yeah. So he bowed down, he was passionate about it. And then he's persistent. 7 times he told his servant, go out and take a look. The servant came back, nothing. They said, go out again. And he said that 7 times. He said persistent, no? He did not say, nothing. That means no answer. Let's stop. Let's pack up and go home. And run faster. Because if not, the king get angry, come back down. Escape first, run away first. He didn't, no? He stayed put, no? And prayed, no? And told the servant, go up 7 times. And then he's persuaded. He's very persuaded that and confident that the God, the Yahweh, the all-powerful Yahweh, is a covenant-keeping God with the best interest of his people in his heart and is able to send the rain. Even though when the servant came back at the 7th time, said, only a little cloud, like the size of a fist. He believed. He believed enough to tell Ahab, go and tell Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down. Lest the rain stop you. He only saw a small cloud, no? And he told the king, lest the rain stop you. You know that kind of faith? Yeah? But the focus is not just about his faith. The focus is that his passionate prayer is a passion for God. Okay? Yeah? So I want to summarize, okay? That the prayer of faith focuses on God Himself, focuses on seeking God, focuses on our passionate belief in God Himself. Okay? And someone once said, effectual prayer is always always humbly reliant on an effectual God. So you have effectual prayer, you have effectual God. But in the middle one that I want to emphasize, it's actually important that we come before Him humbly in prayer. Not arrogantly demanding, God, my prayer is a prayer of faith. You must answer me. And that is arrogance, okay? That's not humility. So if some of us say, oh, it's not because I lack of faith, but I really have, I really cannot believe, okay? Then I will ask you, pray this. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. But lastly, I'd like to conclude. what prayer of faith is not. It is not a guarantee of restoration to health or the person who is sick. Because remember the statement in James chapter 5, right? And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. So there's a lot of interpretation here, right? Different people interpret it differently. But I'd like to also help you see the other part of the verse. And the God will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, they'll be forgiven him. So I don't think it's just physical healing, no? It seems to involve sin, right? So it's both, it can be physical healing, but it is also spiritual healing, okay? So to conclude from the verse, I pray God will definitely heal me, is a very one skilled interpretation of that verse. Because I want to address this, because if not, then I'll leave you dangling, okay? So prayer of faith is not a guarantee of restoration to health of the person who is sick. And it's also not a presumptuous prayer, assuming that God is bound to act in a certain way. Because I act in a certain way, I pray in a certain way, then God must act in a certain way. So it seems that there's a formula, right? If I do step 1, 2, 3, then God must do 4, 5, 6. It's never that case. And the prayer of faith is not a focus on what prayer can do or what we can do through prayer. And that's why where I find that there's some prayer movement that seems to be pushing that, okay? You do this, this is what prayer can do, or what we can do through prayer. A prayer of faith is not reliant on the amount of faith we have. If it depends on the amount of faith we have, I tell you, we are all in trouble, okay? Because none of us have enough faith. I honestly ask you, do you think you have enough faith? I think all of us, if we are humble enough, we say, oh, I don't have enough faith, right? We will never say it's enough. And then we are all in trouble, right? And the prayer of faith is not a type of extraordinary belief that God will answer prayer in some specific way, okay? So I'd like to also leave you with some thing to reflect on. I think it's in your bulletin, right? These reflection questions, okay? You take some time, 3 questions only, okay? Yeah, to think about and pray. And it's my prayer that you will grow in your faith, grow in your relation with the Lord. And as you grow, truly your prayer will be a prayer of faith, okay? Centered and focused on the Lord Himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning reminder to all of us that, Lord, we need to remember why do we pray. That prayer is not an instrument. It's not a way, a channel to extract answers or extract things from you. But prayer is really a privilege you've given us, a means of grace that you have extended to us, so that, Lord, we can focus on you, we can commune with you, we can pursue you, we can develop this passion and love for you. May each of us experience this faith and this prayer. So draw us closer to you. Draw us deeper into yourself. Draw us deeper into the love of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.